encounter. We had a little bit of a miscommunication on the coffee front. So we, after last time where we ran out of coffee, we now have 4 jugs full of coffee. So please drink coffee continually throughout the evening, whether you like coffee or not. You're very, very welcome here this evening. Just a quick reminder, Encounter is really about creating space to encounter God. So I have no idea what kind of weeks you've come from. I'm fairly sure that a lot of you will have come from very busy weeks, and I'm fairly sure a lot of you will be anticipating quite busy weeks coming up from tomorrow. So we just invite you really to use this as time and space to spend with God, to talk to God, to reflect, to just be still, to worship. We do have a lot of time for music. We don't apologise for that. But just use it as your space in the week to just connect with God and hear what God might be saying to us. I'll pray and then I'll hand over to Abby and Co. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the chance to be here this evening. We pray that you quieten our hearts, quieten our minds. And Father, we just give this evening to you. We recognise that this is your place. We recognise that your presence is here. We just say that we are here to worship you and to hear from you. Amen. Yeah, Father, we thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that you're in this room. We thank you that we have the opportunity to worship you and encounter you this evening and in every day and minute of our lives. We just praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sorry, I was expecting one more song there. I think I'm just thrown off by the fact that we have Toby on electric guitar, we have Jordan on Jamie's bass, and Jamie playing drums. It's all very confusing for me, but it sounded great. Jordan's speaking tonight, which is fab, so I'm just going to pray for Jordan and then run away. Father, we... thank you again, praying lots, but that's good, for the word that you've given Jordan. I know that he's had a really, really crazy week, but I pray that you just give him your confidence, give him your clarity, and may he just be confident that what he's speaking tonight comes from you and is of your spirit. And I pray that, we'll all take on board what it is you're saying to us tonight. Amen.
Fabulous. Cool. I have had a crazy week. What a rookie error, right?
Let's try that instead. That's much better, didn't it? Cool. I finished this talk at about 2:00 today. So that's just, me covering my back. Either it'll be God-breathed or it'll be awful. Those are the only two options. So when I told Sophie what I was considering talking about tonight, I told her that I was a little bit worried that it was going to come across as bit too righteous, bit too preachy, not really my style. I'm not really a fan of getting up on a stage and telling a group of people that they're not acting right. I do that behind your backs and under my breath, because I'm British and that's the way we do things. But we have this wonderful thing in our country, don't we? And it's called religious freedom. I quite like it. So I can get up on this stage and tell you my views on religion, and you can disagree with me entirely. In fact, you probably will. And we can all live in the same country without any group feeling particularly oppressed by the system, That's the idea, at least. I don't think it always works, but that's the ideal. I was in Abu Dhabi last week. That's not bragging. In fact, I was visiting my family, and if any of you know my family, you'll know that that's not bragging. And there was this one weird moment where we were in a shop, and my mum, just avoid my microphone while I do this, pointed out that I had my cross showing. We're just in a shop, in the mall, And she felt like she had to point out that I had my cross showing. So I'm not here to talk about proper religious persecution, because I don't know enough about that to sound as clever as I'd want to. But if you want some information on that, there's charities like Open Doors and Release International. Look them up. They can tell you what's going on, and you can decide for yourself whether religious persecution is a good thing or not. It's not. But I do know a little bit about Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, I suppose, is the official name of the country. So it's obviously a Muslim country, but it does have some strong Western influences now because they brought in a bunch of Westerners to come and fill all the jobs they didn't want to do. Especially a lot of Western influence in the capitalism department, as you can tell by going into any of the many, many malls that they have over there. I think there's more Apple products in Abu Dhabi than there is in an actual Apple factory. I've not got anything to substantiate that, but I think so. There are several churches that meet in the city. You've got a choice, and they're able to be public, they're allowed to advertise, and they're allowed to kind of practice their own theology. You know, it's not dictated by the state at all. They can pick whichever theology works for them, which is better than can be said for some countries, which I won't name for fear of world domination. And there are movements of unity between Muslims and Christians and other faiths in the area as well. And yet, in that moment where my mum felt like she had to point out that I was wearing a cross, a sign of being a Christian, and therefore suggesting that maybe I shouldn't, or at least maybe I should think twice before doing that, that suggested a feeling of religious expression being oppressed. And so, what really annoys me, and this is where my Christian message just divulges into a rant for a little bit. What really annoys me is when Christians in the UK suggest that the church here is persecuted. It kind of boils me a little bit that people see the oppression happening like over in the East and that, and they think that they are equally as hard done by as that. Luckily though, I'm a nerd. Shock horror, I know. So I don't just have a rant on my side, I've also got cold hard facts. You're lucky I didn't have time to put a PowerPoint presentation together, otherwise there'd have been graphs and everything, it would have been wonderful. To substantiate my little rant, I've spent far too much time, when I should have been preparing for this, poring over the religion section of the 2001 UK Census. So who wants some stats for their sermon? Yeah, that was about the level of enthusiasm I fully expected to get right then, but I'm charging ahead anyway. Now, unfortunately, the last UK census was in 2011, so we are working on old data, but there'll be another one in a couple of years, and I'll have to come back and do this exact same preach with updated figures. But the report tells us that 59.5% of people identify as Christians. 59.5%. That's more than double the amount that selected no religion on their census, and because it's above 50%, is more than all the other religions and no religion put together. So obviously not all of those will be what we in our very churchy language would call practicing Christians. Maybe they're Christian by association, if that's a thing that exists. But even so, that is 59.5% of our population identify as Christians. Little fun fact that I think is pretty well known now, but I enjoy it, so I'm going to put it in anyway. The seventh largest religion in the UK, according to the 2011 census, is Jedi. Yeah, like from Star Wars. Jedi. If you, and I'm not particularly talking to anyone in this room, but any Christian that believes that they might be persecuted, if you feel persecuted with your 33.2 million people in the UK that identify as your faith, just think of the poor Jedis who only have 170,000 allies in the UK. Can we just mention, though, still that 170,000 people put their a Jedi on a census? But those are big numbers, ridiculously so, in the case of the Star Wars. So here's something a little bit closer to home. The Northwest, that's where we are, as a region, is joint top, this makes me feel quite proud actually, joint top in the percentage of Christians of any other region in the UK. But then we are bottom for percentage of people that say they have no religion, which means that we have the highest percentage in the Northwest of people with a religious background. So I found quite interesting. I enjoyed that. And so much of our culture as well, our laws and our kind of Western idea of morality is based in Christianity. I'm aware that the link maybe isn't quite so overt anymore as it once was, but I think we can take for granted how much of the law of our land happens to align with our beliefs. That is the stats portion of the evening over. You might want to just nudge the person next to you, make sure they're still awake. Lovely. Because now we're moving on to the big, hard-hitting questions section of the evening. So, here it is. Be prepared. Do we use our religious freedom to its full potential? Do we use our religious freedom to its full potential? If there are Christians doing marvellous missionary work or excellent evangelism, wonderful welfare projects, I spent so long making those alliterate and then I messed it up on the last word. Disappointing. Marvellous mission work, excellent evangelism and wonderful welfare project. Under the banner of God in countries like China, where most of their work is actually illegal, if they're doing that excellent work, shouldn't we not be able to do so much more given the free reign that we have? Just a little aside, this is an official aside rather than all the other asides that have been unofficial ones. I am kind of talking about evangelism here, which is a scary word to a lot of people I know, myself included. It always makes me think of those people on their soapboxes out in city centres spouting hatred for a terrible PA system. And I don't want to be lumped in with that. Neither the hatred nor the terrible PH systems. Not sure which is worse. I actually got to have a conversation with the Methodist, let me get his title right, Methodist Director of Evangelism and Growth a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I'm part of the Methodist hoi polloi now. He's a lovely bloke, really nice guy, but we did have a little bit of a spirited debate about his job title, Director of Evangelism and Growth. Makes me squirm a little bit. So if you connect with the word evangelism, great, keep hold of it. If not, for today, let's forget it, and let's just think of the ability and the freedom we have to talk to other humans about this sort of super important life-altering part of our lives. Because when you think about it, that's all it is, isn't it? Even in those oppressed countries where all the work those missionaries are doing, it's just introducing people to their buddy who just happens to be God. Whether that be in their words or just in the kind of caring actions that they're doling out to people left, right and centre. But I think the default position for us here in the UK is to see the relatively slight hardships that we have as Christians here and, like a declining church membership, a general move towards that no religion portion of the census. I'm sure that will be bigger when our next census comes out. Or a general feeling that Christianity is becoming more of like an other thing to people out there. To see those inconveniences and to feel perturbed or discouraged or alienated. And so I wonder whether we possibly subconsciously, use the changes or the challenges in our culture as an excuse not be sharing our relationship with God with other people. An excuse to follow the path of least resistance and just kind of fly under the radar. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, "For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for selfishness, but through love serve and seek the best for one another." For you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Do not let freedom become an opportunity for selfishness, but through love serve and seek the best for one another. So we're called to be in this freedom that we have. Called to be able to live and to express our relationship with God out loud. And so is everyone, but we're just the ones that are lucky enough to get slightly closer to that than some other people. And yet Paul makes a point of saying that that freedom, whilst obviously great for us, shouldn't be just for us. That we shouldn't be selfish with it, but use it as a way to serve and strengthen those around us. So, how can you, in your particular, unique situation that is just for you, push the boundaries of your religious freedom to better help the people in your life? I hope you don't think I'm going to give you an answer to that, because I'm not. It was rhetorical. Just, yeah, think about it. If I gave you an answer, that would suggest I know more than you, which is true, but I need to keep up this whole facade that I've got going on. My tablet's talking at me. She's had enough. So that kind of brings me nicely to my next point, actually, almost as if I wrote it that way. If we're utilising these religious freedoms, what does that mean for other people's religious freedoms? If we're going to make the most of our religious freedoms, what does that mean for other people's religious freedoms? At what point does my ability to talk about my faith encroach on somebody else's freedom to not be preached at? Or rather, does my freedom extend to running around telling everyone that I know best, I have all the answers, and everyone else should shut up right now? I will give you an answer to that one. The answer is no, never, none of that. Not. But if you want something a little bit more subtle, you know, nuanced, slightly more passive-aggressive, we'll turn to Micah and he'll say it for us. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says thus, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If you read it in the Message translation, that last bit says, "And don't take yourself too seriously, take God seriously," which I just want as a mantra for my life, really. But back in the NIV, which is where that first bit came from, we have this bit that says that our actions should be just, merciful, and humble. So if we put those two verses together, the one from Galatians and that one from Micah, we get the confidence that we are free to go, to serve, to share, and to evangelise to others, but that we should do so in a way that is loving and humble. So what does that look like then within the framework of our religious freedoms? Well, I think it does mean that we have to respect other people's freedoms as well. If the people you're talking to about God feel like they are being repressed by it, then that's not very humble or merciful. And then again, it's a two-way conversation. Jesus was great at remaining solid in his mission whilst also listening to and caring about and in some way serving all those people that disagreed with him. You'll notice in the Bible Jesus rarely does any convincing. He has a few debates here and there where even then Jesus like truly listens to the people that are opposite him but then firmly but without demeaning everybody or anyone states his case. But mostly Jesus compelled people towards him by being a maverick that worked for the good of those around him. by just pushing the extent of his religious freedom that he had at the time within the confines of the law of the land, just pushing those boundaries a bit and turning them for the good of those around him. So as we move back into worship, band, if you'd like to come and join me, I want to leave you with a few thoughts to mull over. Thoughts we'll start to pray for intentionally in a little bit, but we can start to let them brew now. And this isn't a quiz. There's going to be loads of questions. You don't need to answer all of them for yourself. Just whichever one resonates with you. So firstly, and this is something that strikes me a lot of the time, you might want to dwell on the fact that we get to do this. That we can meet, a pretty good number of us can meet here in a proper church building, above ground, in one of three different services we've had at this church today, in a service that was created because we have the freedom to worship in whichever way works best for us and God, and that relationship between us. We get to do this. Or you might want to think about that challenge. Am I using that freedom, my religious freedom, to the best of it? To share the loving nature of God that I know with the world? Or do I take it for granted? Am I leaving parts of it sort of underutilized? Is there more I can do? And how do I do that in a way that nurtures people and doesn't move the persecution back onto them? In essence, how do we walk humbly in the freedom that God has given us? I'll leave you to stew on those for a bit. We're going to worship and then we'll pray and do some ministry afterwards.
I love that question that Jordan posed to us, that how do we use our religious freedoms? Are we using them to the full extent? It's something that in a different context I've been kind of thinking about and praying about. Actually, the world is changing, society is changing. I agree that we shouldn't have a victim complex about it, but at the same time, kind of the Christian message to me, it feels like it's, I don't know, just a bit more alien to people. And so I think maybe we are being called to be more creative. Maybe God is calling us to share in different ways. I don't know. But I just wonder whether there's anything worth just us all praying through, maybe with the people around you, but, you know, how is it that we are being called to use our religious freedoms, not in a way that encroaches on other people and restricts their own right to expression, but actually, I know that I'm terrible at it, if I'm honest. Like, I have friends who I care about so much, and I have a God who I love so much, and yet I find it really, really difficult to know how to even begin to connect to. And I know lots of people in this room are a lot better at this than I am, and have thought a lot more about it than I have. But, yeah, how is God calling us to express our love for him in the context of our religious freedom? And I just wonder whether it's worth just praying into that and just seeing whether actually God is calling us to do things differently or more creatively or...
Yeah, because I think as much as I said I didn't want to be preachy, I think it probably is something that's like the kind of onus for it is on us all. It's like there's not, if you are a Christian, then you've got that kind of, that's part of being a Christian, is that thing of how do I evangelize whilst also being human, isn't it? So I think it's a question that we all kind of need to pray into, and I don't think we'll ever always get quite there, so I always think there's more work that we can do. So I think, yeah, I think we could probably all pray with people close to us and kind of work through that.
But also, obviously, feel free to just spend time reflecting and praying yourself if you don't want to pray with people around you.
But, yeah. Or as always, we have Paul and Rachel. You will probably just say where they are, but if you want to talk to somebody specific, then they're very happy to talk to you.
Cool.
Otherwise, we're going to carry on worshiping.
Yeah, use the time to worship, use the time to pray, and just see if God is kind of putting anything on your heart that he might be saying to you in this area.
just been thinking about that idea, that kind of version of Jesus that was really, managed to be really forceful, but also really kind at the same time, and thinking about how, yeah, that's probably, I don't know whether forceful is the right word, but you get where I'm going, motivated, whatever that is. But I think that's probably one of the biggest calls on Christians and the church at the moment is to strike that balance of, staunch to our mission and yet kind to everybody, because that is part of our goal, our mission. And that was supposed to be our last song in that set, but I feel like I'm not quite finished worshipping yet, and I get to tell Abby what to do, so we're going to do another song. At the start there, we did a wonderful song that we've not done here before. It's called Yahweh by Ren Collective, and it's just got some beautifully simple but still beautiful words in it. So we're just going to go back to that. If you're still mid-praying, please feel free to carry on, but we're going to we're going to go back and do some of Yahweh. It's talking about kind of letting Jesus be the wind that fills our sails, and that kind of thing that's pushing us forward, and being filled by Jesus. And I think if we're going to strike that balance of motivated but kind, then that's exactly what we need. So let's sing those words.
Abby and I were just talking and praying about our social media accounts. So Abby has a passion for costume and is amazing at making costumes. And if you follow her on Instagram, which I do, every day she's posting the most amazing photos of costumes she's made in amazing landscapes, and it's beautiful and amazing. I'm really passionate about the outdoors. If you follow me on Facebook, I'm really, really boring. I just post photos of me in the outdoors. But they're passions of ours. And yet, if I'm honest, there's hardly anything on my social media accounts that would give away the fact that I'm passionate about God. And so I've just been reflecting, well, how do I do that in a way that doesn't scare people off and make people think I'm weird? But actually, how do we let that kind of passion that's in our hearts just naturally overflow into our relationships and to people that we kind of rub up against and share our lives with? I don't know what the answer is, but that's kind of what we were thinking about. We're going to finish with one song now, which celebrates our freedom in Christ. And after that, you're welcome to stay for another 2 jugs of coffee and carry on chatting and praying. But thanks for being with us this evening, and I hope you have a really blessed week ahead.